Oh, yeah.
So our great Wednesday morning continues with another great guest.
We have cargo pilot and Air Race Classic Director of Education, Emmy Dillon, who began racing in 2015. You must be having a blast. You guys just came out of a big, giant cross-country race last month.
Yeah, absolutely. June is our month every year. We're always having our June fly camp, we call it, with our friends at Third Week. And we're just so thrilled with how successful this year was.
So do tell. First, start and most exciting leg.
Oh my gosh, this year we started in Fairhope, Alabama, and ended in the Spokane, Washington area, Felts Field. The most, can't even pick which leg was my favorite. I didn't race this year, but I think the start is always the most exciting. Watching every airplane take off and just the adrenaline rush about being a part of history.
Oh yeah, I remember you were at Page Field near where I live one year as the start, and it's really wild to see these 50 airplanes or more taking off almost all at once. I mean, each one gets a time as they leave.
Yeah, I'm a little bit familiar with the race, but others may not be familiar at all. Can you tell us a little bit about the logistics of how the race works, the mechanics of the the legs and that kind of thing, and the start, which you seem to think was so exciting.
Of course, yeah. So this race originates back to 1929 with the original Women's Air Derby, and we as the Air Race Classic are the continuation of that today. Now, each race route changes every year. It's greater than 2,500 miles every year. But because it changes, it's always a new challenge. So each plane is handicapped. There's a handicap flight that occurs before the start of the race. And the way that we explain it is whoever beats their handicap speed the best wins. So you can have a Luscombe win compared to a Twin Comanche or anything faster like a Cirrus. It's all about beating your own handicap speed.
Mm-hmm. And what was your first race? What was it like for the first time you did it?
My first race, this is actually 10 years since my first race. First race was in 2015. I was flying the Mighty 172, and I knew all about it, but I hadn't really experienced it, of course, because I hadn't done it. And there's such this deep emotional connection that I have with it, thinking back to Amelia Earhart and Pancho Barnes and Louise Thaden launching in 1929 in their travel airs, and just a beautiful way to remember everything that they did for us. Yeah. And of course, I mean, it's a competition, so I'm a competition girl myself.
Yeah, right. Is it single pilot or are there crews? How does that work?
It's a crewed aircraft. You have to have at least two pilots, a pilot and a co-pilot, and each team's also allowed to have teammates. So sometimes we have teams of three as well. A lot of universities do that.
Mm-hmm. And then each leg is timed or measured in and of itself, and then you pause for each night? Is that how it works?
Pretty close. So each leg is measured with a speed and time. That's how you get your score. But it's actually up to the pilots and their strategy about when they want to spend the night. It's a day VFR race and you have 4 days to do it, but you don't have to stay at specific airports on the route every night. If your strategy is to get three legs the first day, great. You'll land at the third stop on your route, or maybe, like I've done in 1 year, I've done one leg in 1 day, but it worked out for us that year. We got better tailwinds.
My understanding is that it's really about finding those tailwinds and the weather that takes you where you need to go.
Absolutely.
Because that's how you beat your handicap. I mean, you can wax the airplane until the cows come home. You can knock every bug off it. You can make it as fast as you're allowed to make it, but you can't touch it once you've got your handicap.
Correct.
It's like NASCAR is supposed to be, right?
Yep.
You know.
Okay. So she pointed at me like, the guy obviously knows about NASCAR.
You don't know about NASCAR? Oh my gosh.
I know what NASCAR is, but I'm not a NASCAR.
They turn left, right, I think.
I'm much more of an airplane guy than a race car guy. It's all pretty fascinating. I had a question, I've lost it. You go next.
Okay. So finding the best weather and the best tailwind is a science.
Yes, it is. It takes also a lot of understanding your aircraft that you're flying. You can, of course, tailwinds are the very simplistic way to, you know, increase your ground speed, reduce your time, things like that. But it's also understanding your performance of your aircraft as well. So that's a huge educational piece of flying in the Air Race Classic, is not only are you understanding weather, but you're also understanding the technical side of the performance of your aircraft. And as a racer myself, and now on the education team, we really push that. And I know I become a better pilot as a result of flying in this race.
I remember what it was. Is there a qualification process to be eligible to participate in the race?
Yes. So to be a pilot or a co-pilot, you have to have at least 100 hours PIC. And one of you on that two pilot team has to have at least 500 hours PIC or an instrument rating. It's not, they're mutually exclusive. So as long as you have one of those. But if you have, if you would like to bring in a student pilot or somebody that's learning to fly, you can bring them in as a teammate. So we very often have that happen. Like I said earlier, with the universities, they'll bring a flight instructor and maybe a commercial student and someone completing their private pilot as their teammate, and they transition from the ground-based side, you know, maybe helping with strategy, into the airplane as the backseater teammates, and then all the way forward to being the flight instructor in the left seat.
Mm-hmm. So it's general aviation experience, not general aviation, but aviation experience in general. There's no like qualification to be in the race. You don't have to win some other race in order if you meet those requirements. And what is the application process? How would one get involved?
So January 2nd of the year of the race, so our registration will open up January 2nd, 2026. You can go to our website, airraceclassic.org. And it's a simple register now. You'll register on our website and you'll submit pilot documents and things like that. And of course, your team name, that's very important. Everybody should have an awesome, fun team name.
And shirts, I would imagine.
Oh, of course. Well, the history with this is all the way, of course, back to when we started doing teams, probably in the, I can't remember the exact year, but women's teams started wearing and matching like outfits and uniforms, and we continue that tradition. It's just a lot of fun.
That sounds great.
It's cute. So you could just go to our website and you submit your documentation, your interest for it. It's completely free to register as a racer once you get your team together. And that can be friends, your flight instructor. It could be, or maybe you don't have a race partner available to you or a race plane available to you. I always encourage people to register, because we, on our end, on the backside of the Air Race Classic, might be able to help you find a teammate and a plane.
Okay. You mentioned that there are handicaps of different types of aircraft, so
yes,
that they can compare them more equally. Is it by type or by individual aircraft?
By individual aircraft.
So
yep.
part of the application process would be to get your handicap figured out, right?
Yes, that's correct.
How does that work?
So, May time frame, right before our race in June, you'll go up, the PIC will go up with a ARC handicap pilot. And that's just somebody that's been through the special training to make sure that the aircraft's being flown correctly per our handicap instructions. You fly at 6,000 feet density altitude, and you fly a box in the sky. And what that does is it cancels out any sort of wind correction and things like that. And that gives you your handicap speed, your corrected handicap speed, without the wind error.
Yeah, we're talking with Emmy Dillon, who's with the Air Race Classic, fascinating stuff. This is great. The route, you say the route changes each year.
Every year.
What's the process for selecting the route each year?
It's a super interactive process, actually, because we come to events like Oshkosh and the Women in Aviation Conference, as well as many others, because we want to interact with interested airports that want to be a part of our route. So any airport that's interested that wants to be a part of it, we pretty much take from our pool of interest, and our specialists with our route team work together to connect all of these different airports of interest and creates our route. We always try to do something a little bit different year to year. So in this case, we went from the southeast to the Pacific Northwest. Some years we'll go from the southwest all the way to the northeast. Sometimes a nice big circle in the middle. It just depends on, we always want to, you know, mix it up a little bit, give people a different challenge.
Yeah. What's really exciting, though, about this race is some of these university teams haven't done a big, giant cross-country like this before. There's a lot of planning involved. And as the education director, I have a feeling that you really help them get to understand what a long cross-country takes. of a pilot in a GA airplane.
Absolutely. I actually started as a collegiate racer myself as well, so I kind of have a double background there with the education side and collegiate. But part of our job is to really expose general aviation pilots, whether they're collegiate or not, into flying outside their bubble, getting outside their comfort zone a little bit to become better pilots. And so we work with, we do like Q&As and we do webinars throughout the whole planning process. Some teams start a year out, so some teams are already planning for 2026, and some start in January when they register. But our job is to equip them with the knowledge that they need to be successful in their decision making, their safety mindset development, and maintaining their personal minimums.
Your website is pretty elaborate, and there's a lot of information there. Where are you guys on the field here at AirVenture this week?
We are in two places, actually, which is fantastic. So we're in Hangar B at booth 2122, and we're also at the Women Venture Center at WV13. And you can also visit us on our website at airraceclassic.org.
Oh, that's wonderful. Are you doing some seminars or anything?
Not seminars, but we've got past racers there that are happy to talk to you about what the Air Race Classic is like and how to get involved.
Oh, that's really exciting. So anybody who's thinking that they might want to do a super long country cross country, anybody who thinks that they might even have a friend with an airplane who would be willing to get involved and do that and kind of form a team. I mean, it's the camaraderie, the fun stuff that you do at the different stops along the way.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's one of the kickers of the whole deal. You know, you hate to skip a stop, but you want to win.
Oh, trust me, it's definitely a battle. But I'll tell you, the sisterhood that we have as racers, I mean, it's the longest lasting all women's transcontinental air race in the world. And it's truly a pleasure.
That is exciting. We have been speaking with Emmy Dillon. She is the education director for the Air Race Classic, and they are here on the field this week. Thank you so much for coming to EAA Radio.